morning. We are looking at the 10th commandment this morning in Exodus 20, verse 17, the last of the 10 commandments. So let us give our attention to the reading of God's law. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Well, it's very fitting that we begin with count your blessings this morning, because here the 10th commandment encourages us to do just that very thing. Obviously, it forbids us from coveting things that God has not given us, but beyond that, as we will see, it's absolutely vital that we cultivate thankfulness of heart to keep this commandment. Now, as we've gone through the Ten Commandments, you all have seen that the law is spiritual. That is, the requirements of every single one of the commandments goes to our very hearts and our very heart motives. But this commandment in particular, you'll see, is specifically directed towards the spiritual. It actually is speaking specifically about desire. It's fascinating to me that God, when he established the nation of Israel, giving them this law, gave them a whole commandment dedicated and devoted to thinking and desire. What one ought to desire and what thing that God would not have us desire. And this commandment, the 10th commandment in particular, shows us and exposes the sinfulness of our hearts. Because it's one thing to say, well, I haven't committed murder, I haven't committed adultery, I haven't stealed. But then the very fact that we have desired our neighbor's wife, or the very fact that we have desired what our brother or sister has, that itself is sin. Paul had the same experience in Romans 7 when he talks about how the law is spiritual and how it exposes the sinfulness of our hearts. In Romans 7, he actually points to this commandment in particular. In verses 7 through 11 of that chapter, he says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, the sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me." This commandment just slew Paul to the ground because it exposed. It was a mirror, a terrifying mirror that showed the covetousness that was in his heart. And that's what this commandment does for us, brothers and sisters. It is a mirror for us. It helps us to see who we are, to see our need for Christ, and to give thanks to God because what the law could not do because of the weakness of our flesh, Christ has done for us, fulfilling the law on our behalf. And by the Holy Spirit, we are enabled to overcome this covetousness in our hearts. So as we look at the Ten Commandments, we want to think about what is required in the 10th commandment. Question 80 of the Shorter Catechism says that the 10th commandment requireth full contentment with our own condition, with a right and charitable frame of spirit toward our neighbor in all that is his. So the Catechism is basically saying, how do we keep the 10th commandment? We cultivate contentment of heart, both with what God has given us and what he hasn't given us, and maybe has given our neighbor, that we desire. So how do we guard against the sin of covetousness? Well, I think the first thing is that we need to cultivate thankfulness. We need to be a thankful people. The scriptures say that it is God's will that in everything we give thanks, for it is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. As we cultivate thankfulness, we think much less about what we do not have, and as we think about what we do have. Also, you guard against covetousness by a proper estimation of the things that you desire. Think about the things that you want, that your neighbor has, perhaps. None of these things can compare with the glory that will be revealed to us. These are earthly things. God has given them to us as a gift, as a blessing, perhaps. Maybe he's given them to our neighbor as a blessing to them. But whatever the case, they're just treasures on earth. They're not treasures in heaven. Thirdly, we can guard against the sin of covetousness by coveting spiritual things, desiring spiritual things, the things of God. We should greatly desire the kingdom of Christ. We should greatly desire the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, greatly desire the love of Christ to be shed abroad in our hearts. All of these things are good desires. Consider, for example, the psalmist in Psalm 42. He's expressing this intense longing for God. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? It's not a matter of if we will desire, but it's a matter of what we will desire. We need to direct our desires to God Himself. And as we desire Him, and desire Him above all other things, then all these other things are going to pale in comparison and in terms of importance. We should covet Christ and His kingdom, covet heaven and the resurrection, covet wisdom above riches, as the Proverbs say, covet the heavenly Jerusalem. All of these things are to be our great desire. And when you get to heaven, when you get to that place of glory, what would a covetous person have in the kingdom of Christ? What would they enjoy in heaven? A place of no covetousness whatsoever. If our minds are drawn to the things of this world, then the things of heaven are going to not be of much interest to us. So, brothers and sisters, we must desire God and God above all things. Psalm 16 says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. And you remember what God said when he came to Abraham? In Genesis 15, he says, Behold, Abraham, I am your shield and your great reward. That is what God is to us, far to be valued above all these other things. So let us pray to our God that he would grant us this contentment of heart and thankfulness for what he has given us. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we come to you as sinners who are in need of your grace and mercy, and we ask that you would forgive us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for your forgiveness because we know that sometimes we have set our heart and minds on things of this world and put in a too high estimation upon them. And we have not valued the things that we should truly value. We have traded your worship for the worship of earthly things. We have taken things that you created for good and we've used them for evil ends and desiring them wrongly. We ask, O Lord, that you would change our desires, that our desires would be the things that you love, and that we would be greatly content and thankful for what you have given us already. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.